cycle. Welcome to the 1 o'clock no sour haha funny hour. We are back on the no sour haha funny power hour. What is it, Greg?
The no sour fun time haha power hour.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! We got 1 hour left until the weekend. Jane and I cannot wait. We are so excited to have some relaxing time, but that doesn't mean we still have the no sour fun time haha power hour.
Ooh, I think you got it.
I think I got it. One more hour, and we are so excited to kick it off with our monthly guest, Matt Miller, who is the culture editor over at On Milwaukee, to talk about all things pop culture and entertainment. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for letting me be on the No Fun Power Hour Sour Patch Kids 1 o'clock session.
Yeah, that's basically, you did about as well. We've been doing this for what? I think we probably started a little after the last time you were on the show, and I say it differently every single day.
It's a fluid kind of thing.
It is. It is. It's got dimensions. You know, it's got angles.
All right. Well, the last time you were here, the Oscar nominations had just been announced, and I've seen two. I've seen Everything Everywhere All at Once since we last talked, and I've seen The Banshees of Inisherin. I saw that this week, and I knew that I was, because Jane had tipped me off. She's like, it takes a weird turn. But you know what I found out is it's a metaphor for the Civil War. I didn't know that. I had to look it up because I was like, I don't get it. And so then I had to look it up, but now I get it.
The Irish military fighting in the background was maybe a hint that there was some sort of metaphorical thing going on here, said Matt smugly.
I was like, Matt, I'm very tired at night after doing this. And so I think it's also at this point of like, do I want to think or do I want to be entertained? But it was good. Once I kind of wrapped my head around that, and the acting was very good. But
And I'm really happy for Barry Keoghan, who did win a BAFTA? I think he just won an award.
He did.
For that.
He just won a BAFTA, and I'm very excited. I like seeing Colin Farrell kind of getting his flowers right now. There was that phase in the mid 2000s when they just kind of tried shoehorning Colin Farrell into star actor role, and he's much more interesting as a character actor. He's much more interesting in these later years as he's been allowed to do stuff like In Bruges and After Yang and even The Batman, where he played the Penguin under just a mound of makeup. He's really turned out to be a fascinating actor, and it's nice to see him getting some tribute here, and hopefully, possibly, the win in Best Actor, which is one of the most hotly debated categories right now, still even a few weeks out.
Because who is it really between, in your opinion, not necessarily all five, but as far as, are all five, it could be any of the five?
No, Paul Mescal and Bill Nighy are just happy to be there.
Okay.
Their nominations are their wins. It's between Colin Farrell, Brendan Fraser in The Whale, and then Austin Butler in Elvis, which is very surprising to me because that's not a huge Oscar. I know it's a biopic, a musical biopic. Those are normally a 100% win situation, but they also don't love giving these Oscars to people who are kind of unproven.
Yeah.
And I think the other two guys have much better narratives. And as much as you don't like to talk about award season in terms of stuff outside of the work on screen, narratives drive these awards. Narratives are the reason why a lot of times people win awards. And Colin Farrell has a better narrative. Brendan Fraser obviously has had one of the best narratives of all of award season, you know, coming back and kind of getting Hollywood spotlight again after being out of the spotlight for so long and having to deal with so much off of the spotlight as well.
And so, because I will say, Austin Butler was very good. And like,
he is.
And so but I also get it as far as people's time and, you know, and the,
it would just
the narrative.
Yeah, and it'd feel a little lazy too, because it just feels so obvious now. Like, oh, it's a person doing an impression in a musical biopic. Nominate him for the Oscar, give him the win, give him the Rami Malek treatment. Like, every time we've generally done this, we kind of regret it, you know? Like,
yeah.
Like, when we gave Rami Malek that Oscar for Bohemian Rhapsody, it took about 5 minutes before everyone was like, oh, we shouldn't have done this. This was a mistake. But that's the whole 2018 Oscars.
Who did 2018? Is that when Green Book won?
Yeah, that is the we shouldn't have done this Oscars.
Was that also, that wasn't Oscar So White. That was 2015, 2016?
I believe that was 2014 or 15.
Okay.
Because I thought that was the Spotlight, Mad Max, The Revenant year, I believe.
Yes. Any other kind of observations as far as the award season progresses? Because when is the Oscars are?
The Oscars are March 12th.
Okay, so we're like 2 weeks?
Next weekend, but the weekend after.
Okay, so, and so yeah. As we, anything else that you've noticed as far as that's interesting as this has progressed?
Well, All Quiet on the Western Front, the Netflix big war movie, that won Best Picture at the BAFTAs, which is basically the British Oscars. Mm-hmm. And I think some people started thinking, like, maybe this is going to win. You know, it's a war movie. It's based on, you know, a famous, beloved novel. It's Netflix, who has tons of money to spend and desperately wants to win Best Picture one of these years, finally. I don't see that happening. It's still a fairly small received movie. Not many people have seen it on the big screen because Netflix has barely played it on the big screen. So I don't think people get the full effect of the movie in a lot of cases. And it's not very starry, you know? It's not the kind of movie in a year where you have Top Gun Maverick, Everything Everywhere All at Once, you know, Avatar. You have these big movies. Do you want to give it to, you know, this European war movie that's pretty difficult to watch? Because as anyone who's read that book knows, takeaway, war, not great. Don't do it. So I don't think, and also for...
Oh.
Did we freeze him?
I think he's frozen.
Matt, if you can hear us, your computer is frozen, so we will keep talking. But as far as, I still haven't seen All Quiet on the Western Front.
I have.
And my mom watched it, and she said it's brutal.
It is. It, at the same time, it is so well done, and so, it cuts to you. It cuts you. It does. And like Matt said, too, it's just reinforcing the message of war is not good.
No.
For anyone. Well, and I would hope if it's not going to win Best Picture, at least it's going to get something for cinematography or something like that, because it is really, really well done.
And it's interesting, though, because as soon as we get Matt back on, I'm going to give him the number. Matt, if you can hear this, 844-967-2789, if you'd like to call instead of reconnecting to the internet. Because 1918, that one, not that many years ago. Do you remember? It was the movie that was shot almost entirely. You can tell a couple times when they cut, but it was basically almost an entirely shot. There he is, Matt. Can you hear us? Oh.
I think I can.
Now you can, yes.
I've just moved houses. You know, I've just moved houses, and it is rebelling against me for my takes against Oscars.
Well, what I was saying is, for All Quiet on the Western Front, it was also, does it ever matter as far as how recently a war movie just won? Because didn't 1918 win 4 years ago?
Sorry, you're breaking up a little bit, but I believe you were talking about war movies actually winning best. Hasn't happened much. We had 1917.
17.
We had Hacksaw Ridge. People appreciate the technical stuff, but I don't think they appreciate the movies as
much. Yeah. Matt, why don't you give us a call instead of doing the StreamYard, just because we're going to be able to hear you. If you give us a call at 844-967-2789, and then we can continue talking about award season, but also what I'm really excited to talk about is because he had a double feature last night of the Murdering Bears, of Cocaine Bear and the Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey. I forgot what the entire
That sounds, yes, Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey.
Blood and Honey, which is, you know, but what's crazy about that movie is what I just learned is that it's already, there we go. Matt, are you back?
Hi. It, again, the house was a big Green Book fan, and it didn't like my slander, so, and also, it's trying to hide the, I'm sad to report that Cocaine Bear is not a good movie.
I am so upset by that.
That just, I am stunned, man.
I don't like to live in a world where a movie Cocaine Bear isn't the greatest time I've ever had at a movie theater, but I just kept waiting for, you know, it's a movie called Cocaine Bear. That movie should be lunacy. It should be mayhem. And I spent so much of the movie being like, so when does something funny happen? When does something it's not particularly funny. The jokes are not very well spaced out and integrated. There's some decent horror movie kills. It's pretty violent. It is a violent movie. It is works better as a horror movie than a comedy. I also think part of the problem is that I know bears are, generally speaking, pretty gentle creatures. They don't attack humans. But if a bear is attacking a human, I really can't tell the difference that much between a coked-up bear attacking a human and a regular bear attacking a human.
Fair. I was wondering, I was like, the cocaine part of this is, like, that was what felt, because we know the real, like, there was the documentary of the bear that ate the bear aficionado, but what was the name of that documentary from 10 years ago?
Grizzly Man.
So, like, we know that this can happen in real life, that a grizzly, especially grizzly bears.
Well, this is based on a true story.
We have to go to a break. We're going to play a little bit of the trailer when we come back for anyone who's not familiar. And we can talk a little bit about that. It's based off a true story. It sounds like you didn't like it, but we also still need to fit in talking about Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, and if that's as campy as it sounds. All right.
Best Picture nominee.
Yes, exactly. All right. Matt Miller, who is the culture editor at On Milwaukee, is our guest. He will still be here when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, a product of Civic Media. Enjoy it live across Wisconsin, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Find your local station on our website, civicmedia.us, or on the Civic Media app, and catch any of your favorite shows as a podcast wherever you listen.
Business like show, business like no business, I know. Everything about it is appealing. Everything that traffic will allow.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. And we are talking to Matt Miller, who is the culture editor over at On Milwaukee, about his double feature murdering bear viewing party.
Bad night for the bear PR industry.
So Cocaine Bear's base, it's a feature, it's a narrative, but it was based off of a real story?
Yes, loosely. This is going to surprise you, but it's very loosely based on the true story of in the 70s, they found this bear that had eaten like 75 pounds or so of cocaine that had been dropped by a trafficker in the woods. And the bear died. Like, no one got attacked. No one got mauled that we know of or anything. But the bear ate the coke and died. Obviously, they stretched that story out a little bit in the movie and add significantly more deaths and seemingly more coke, it seems like. But the crazy part is what happens after. So the cocaine bear, which later got dubbed Pablo Escobar, which is...
That's a great name.
Great work, everybody. They thought it would be a waste of the bear to just, like, after they did the autopsy. So they decided that they were going to taxidermy it, and they were going to give it to the Chattahoochee River National Recreation Area where the bear was found. And then the bear, like, disappeared. And somehow Waylon Jennings got a hold of it at a pawn shop.
What?
I'm telling you, the real story of Cocaine Bear might actually be more wild and entertaining than the movie Cocaine Bear.
That is a better story.
That is a better story. That is a much better story. And so, because Elizabeth Banks is the director?
Yes, she is. And she did I liked Pitch Perfect 2. I thought it was fun. But then everyone forgets that she also directed the Charlie's Angels movie that literally nobody saw. That was erased off the face of the earth, didn't exist, and wasn't particularly good.
The newer one, not the Lucy Liu, one. Drew Barrymore, Cameron Diaz one.
And not Charlie's Angels Full Throttle, you know, or Charlie's Angels the failed NBC pilot. We've really tried to make Charlie's Angels happen again in the 21st century, and it has not stuck.
I think it's done.
I think we could just move on. I think we could just call that one done.
All right. So then with the time we have left, so you also saw the Winnie the Pooh horror movie.
I did.
Which I see, this is not one I would necessarily sign up to go see, but supposedly it's performed pretty well considering it only took $100,000 to make this. And so far, so good.
I mean, this movie just had to show up to make its money back. Like, I think it cost under $100,000, which in movie budget-wise is snooker-loopy bonkers. But it's very bad. This movie
is it worse than Cocaine Bear?
Easily. Okay. Cocaine Bear is a functioning motion picture. Like, Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey is a movie that you feel like a boom mic might drop into the frame at any moment. It is trash. It is incompetent as a movie, as a motion picture. And it is only funny because of just how nonstop bad it is. And how, if you're making a Winnie the Pooh horror movie, you want it to be Winnie the Pooh and Piglet. But it's clearly just two guys in masks walking around doing the killing. So this guy's got a lot of headlines for making this movie, and he's already talked about making a sequel and doing other movies in the public domain and turning them into horror movies. And I think maybe we should stop him. I think we need to, because it is getting to be like Sharknado territory, where it's like, at what point is this just wildly cynical and not fun?
Maybe one day, Matt, it will achieve Plan 9 from Outer Space kind of status.
As a movie like that, you could almost have a laugh at it. But I wanted from Cocaine Bear and from Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, I wanted Piranha 3D level craziness. And I did not get that. I love Piranha 3D. Neither of these movies touched that.
So where was it like compared to like Snakes on a Plane?
I think Cocaine Bear is slightly better than Snakes on a Plane.
Got it. Okay.
Slightly. They are both bad movies. And then Winnie the Pooh is in hell somewhere.
Somewhere in hell. Well, and it's interesting because this is why the director got headlines is because Winnie the Pooh is now in the public domain, right?
Yeah, he's pillaged public domain, basically. Though Disney still has the rights to the animated character.
Okay, so it's just the likeness?
Yeah, so I believe the laws on all of this are very confusing and all that, but basically anything made after 1976, I believe, they get more protection, or they lose their protections as copyright after a certain amount of years. I believe it's like 95 years or 70 years after the author dies. So more stuff, Mickey Mouse might be entering the public domain too, but there are ways around this where if you make something new with that character and you have the copyright, I believe it extends further. It's very convoluted, very confusing, and somehow the most confusing part about all of this is trying to understand the plot of Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey.
where is it ranked against like other campy horror films for you?
It's really bad. And I will say, it is also borderline distasteful in areas.
Oh.
Like, it has one of those horror movie things where it's like, well, before we put this girl in the wood chipper, we have to take her top off.
Oh.
And it's just like, oh, like, this movie's already, like, kind of repellent. That it's like, what if we took kids' movies characters and turned them into demonic freaks? But then it's like, well, what if we added chauvinism? And it's just not ideal.
Two bare paws down for both movies. All right. Well, when you come back next month, we'll have Oscars to talk about. We'll have new movies to talk about, but always a delight to have you here, Matt.
Thanks for having me. Sorry about the internet.
No problem. You know, it happens to the best of us. Matt Miller is the culture editor at On Milwaukee. You can check him out there. When we come back, Neil deGrasse Tyson coming to Milwaukee. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
I'm haunted, you're broken hearted, but you go on. There's no people like no people. They smile when they are low. Even with a turkey that you know will hold, you may be stranded out in the cold. Still you wouldn't change it for a sack of gold.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane That Nair. And we have a half hour left until the weekend. What do you have planned this weekend?
I am going this evening to a friend's in Mount Pleasant.
Oh.
And going to go down there and we're going to go out to dinner and I'm going to spend the night.
Nice.
Yeah. Little getaway.
Nice.
Yeah. What about you?
I don't really have any plan. I'm going to see my cousin tonight. I think work. Basically.
Isn't it nice sometimes just not to have any plans?
Yeah, it is.
And you can just chill and do whatever?
Just chill and be left alone. But that's not usually my MO, so I don't know.
I know it's not.
Usually, Mike's out of town, so I'm just going to take advantage of owning the clicker.
Nice.
Do you call it a remote or a clicker?
I call it the remote.
I think, because I don't know if clicker is regional. That might just be the house I grew up in.
It was the clicker.
It was the clicker. I still call it that.
Does Mike call it the clicker?
I don't know. I have to ask him. I think he might say remote. It's something that's so interchangeable to me that I don't even pick up on it.
It's not weird
to me when someone says remote, but the fact that I so easily said clicker, I was like, yeah, that's weird. Because clicker, speaking of the appointment viewing, which we had on one of the bumpers today, there's clickers in Last of Us. Which are not the same thing as a remote control.
You just lost me.
So The Last of Us, a show that I've told you about right, that I'm watching with the non-zombie zombies.
But the mushrooms that grow out of their
heads.
The
mushrooms. The one of the categories of infected is called a clicker.
Oh.
Which is very different than a remote control.
Gotcha,
the clicker
gotcha.
That I call.
Okay.
So. Anyways, all right. So it was announced yesterday that we as in Milwaukee, will indeed be hosting one of the Republican debates for the presidential election.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just a little confused, and maybe my memory's bad, but this is saying it's going to happen in August of this year.
This year?
Yeah, so Milwaukee will host the first Republican presidential primary debate. Oh, it's the primary debate.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
No, that still doesn't make sense. It still feels way too early.
But
doesn't it?
No.
I feel like the debates, like I'm trying to think of the very crowded
Republican?
Democratic for the 2020, like end of 2019, early 2020. The amount of people who, I mean, even I guess by early 2019, because at one point there was like 25 candidates.
Which is crazy.
Remember when it was Biden and Kamala and the 6'8 de Blasio was in there. And there was like so many different candidates. And then by the time I feel like they got to the first primary, I feel like it was later in the year 2019, like it was later in the year than August. August feels early to me.
I guess it does, but ABC reporting the opening Republican presidential debate of the 2024 election season will happen in Milwaukee this August. The rough time and location, the only details finalized as a group of RNC members met behind closed doors this week in Washington.
Yeah, and so I'm trying to remember when was the first, because maybe it's also just because at this point in 2019, so early 2019, there was still already, because I remember making a joke about it in one of my videos back then, which would have been spring before, it was when I was leaving, I was moving to LA, but I was still in New York, and I had a joke in one of my videos about how many different candidates there were. So that was early 2019, and at that point there was 20-ish, give or take a few. But then by the end of the year, some had already dropped out. But I just don't remember debates happening already.
That soon.
That's like the summer of 2019. And so, but it'll be interesting to see how crowded this ends up being. I mean, obviously there's only two so far.
Nikki Haley,
former President Trump, yep. Who I guess is DJing at Mar-a-Lago now?
I saw this popped up on my feed that, yes, apparently he's doing a regular DJing gig now at Mar-a-Lago.
What do you think he spins? Like, what do you think his, like, go-to tune? He's not a guy that I feel like is a music aficionado. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, what's on his Spotify playlist?
Songs about him?
Maybe, but I just, like, what era of music is he like, yep, that was the time. That was the golden years of music that he just, like, always comes back to.
I think he's a YMCA kind of guy.
You
I mean, they always played that at his rallies.
What was the song that he had to stop playing?
I think there were several.
There was like multiple artists who sent him a cease and desist of playing
stop
it at
using
his,
my music.
At his rallies. But I just like, right? He doesn't, you know, whereas Obama puts out his like best of list every year, like his best books, the best shows, the best albums, whatever. And like, I buy that, right? Maybe he gets a little help with it, but I buy that like,
he actually reads those books.
He reads those books, and like, there's music that they put on that, like, and he enjoys certain kinds of music. I can't even imagine Trump like putting on music and like just vibing to it, let alone picking the music to set the. I actually can. I take that back because I have some people in my life who insist on being like the unofficial DJ.
Uh oh.
Because they want to set the tone for the night because they're. They think that they have the best music taste.
Mm-hmm.
And that sounds a little Trumpian.
Without a doubt.
It's like, I know best.
I
know the music that we need right now. Give me the spinner.
And this is what I like, and that's what everyone is going to listen to.
Do you think he has like the one headphone on and then
and ruin his hair? He's gotta have earbuds. I can't imagine him with.
Is there pictures of this?
I'll see if I can find some.
See if you can find some pictures of DJ DT.
Oh, nice. I like it. Oh, by the way.
DJT.
DJT. Text came in from the 262 at 844-967-2789. Thank you, 262. Kristen, we say clicker too.
Oh, yay. I'm not the oldie. Our family's not the oldie one. I wonder if that was more of my mom's thing or my dad's thing. I can hear both of them saying it.
Clicker for the remote.
Clicker for the remote.
Okay.
All right. Well, the other thing coming to Milwaukee, or person coming to Milwaukee, Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Love that guy.
Love. And I was looking at his Wikipedia page because it's what he's, I feel like he's one of those guys where it's like, you know that he's famous. You recognize him, but you're all, and you know that he's like a famous scientist, astrophysicist, but also you're like, how did he get famous? Because it feels like, guys who are like that, you're like, how do you end up being
a media star, right?
The guy that everybody knows. And so, but like, he's an astrophysicist, author, science communicator. I like that. I liked that term on his Wikipedia page,
okay.
A science communicator. Because I would say that's what he is.
He is.
Of breaking down the universe in digestible ways. And he's also the director of the New York City's Hayden Planetarium, and he is coming to town, to Milwaukee, the event is called An Astrophysicist Goes to the Movies, the Sequel. And this is the description. So derived from yet another set of 30 films that range from My Cousin Vinny to Star Trek to Bruce Almighty to Back to the Future to Interstellar to Shrek, this lecture is an entertaining and enlightening review of all the science that our favorite movies got wrong.
Oh, that is so great.
Combined with some stuff they got right. This lecture also incorporates the latest films as well as some classics that you may not have known had any science in them at all. And so I think there's still tickets. Maybe that's what I'll do tonight since I don't have new plans.
Oh, is it this weekend?
It's tonight.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The cheapest ticket's $50, so it's not cheap. But doesn't that sound fun? I guess this is the second time he's done it.
Yes. Yeah. I didn't see it, but I know he had done that. And it just sounds like such a fascinating event.
Well, so many of those movies you watch and you kind of watch it just to enjoy the movie, and you're not sitting there wondering, well, that couldn't really happen. Well, some people might actually be like, well, that couldn't really happen. But it is interesting, his demeanor. Like, he seems, for as brilliant as he is, whenever I see an interview with him, he seems very just observant, right? Of just like, there's certain truths in the world as far as what science tells us.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why I feel like this would be so interesting to see. Like the possibility that, like, yes, this is fun and we can observe this and we can use it as entertainment, but it also is not true. It's also not accurate and stuff like that. But it also immediately made me think, he went on Ben Shapiro's show. So Ben Shapiro, political commentator. And I will say, to his defense, I am not a Ben Shapiro fan. Listening to him talk is kind of trying to listen to someone who sounds like they've been sped up to like 3x. But I look at the same time I was looking at Neil deGrasse Tyson's Wikipedia page this morning, I then looked at Ben Shapiro's. I was like, where did this guy come from that he has such a following? And I will say, like, he has a pretty lengthy resume,
too. Oh, does he?
He graduated from UCLA cum laude at 20 because he skipped two grades during elementary school. He then immediately went to Harvard, also graduated cum laude there. And he's been writing and talking and practicing. Like, he practiced law for a little while. So granted, I still think he wields his platform now, not for good, but it doesn't necessarily mean he's not very smart and very accomplished, but he has a show. And actually, as I started looking at his guests, I'm interested in going and listening to the episodes where he has people on who definitely don't agree with him, including Anna Kasparian, who is one of the producers and hosts for The Young Turks, which is like unapologetically
liberal
and left. And they have a debate or a talk. And so I'm gonna go back and watch that one. So maybe that's another opening, like trying to listen to people who you don't always agree with. But I had seen this clip of when Neil deGrasse Tyson was on Ben Shapiro's show and they were talking about transgenderism. And it was just for me the reminder of so often Ben Shapiro on his show takes like TikToks of random kids and just destroys them. But it's not like he's inviting them on the show.
To defend themselves.
To defend themselves. Or, you know, he'll go speak at an event and a college student will make a point. He'll
own
the libs.
Yeah.
And so to see him have this conversation with, you know, arguably one of the smartest public figures around right now, we'll just play a little bit of it.
Is militating against the advent of science. One of those areas is the area of transgenderism. The argument that is typically made by gender theorists is that gender is entirely separate from sex. You've seen the argument made that it makes no difference on average if men are stronger than women are, and that if we were to allow transgender women to compete with non-transgender women, then this would somehow not disadvantage biological women. And this seems to me absolutely ascientific, that if we're actually going to have a discussion about gender and sex, that should be based in data, which suggests that mammals are in fact binary in terms of their sex, unless you have intersex birth defects, typically, or genetic defects.
I'm happy to opine on this. This only matters because today we segregate most, nearly all sports by gender. Otherwise, why do we even give a what someone identifies with? So this is, we live in a free country and with consenting adults and people, free expression of who and what they are.
Yeah, adult level, I agree with you. I mean, it doesn't matter what you teach your children.
And so there's the matrix of you know, what you are biologically, how you express yourself, who you choose as a sexual partner. If we actually live in a free country, as we tell ourselves, people's freedom to behave in any of those ways should not concern you at all.
And that's only a taste of it.
It's a
short whole
clip.
The whole piece of that conversation. The whole conversation is like an hour, but it's about 13 minutes where the two of them are talking about this, and largely where Neil deGrasse Tyson comes down, he's like, sure, let's study it, but not at the risk of taking away people's freedoms. And Ben Shapiro kind of just sits there, knowing that he got owned a little bit, and it's great. All right, we got one more segment left. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
She blinded me with science.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. We got 10 minutes left until we are into the weekend, at least for us. Obviously, for you, you might still be at work.
Yep.
Our colleagues, Luke and Brian, Chad Holmes, they all have shows next, so they are not done yet for the weekend. But we are 1 foot out the door, which I am relieved.
Ready for the weekend.
Ready to relax.
Want to thank Kristen from Maguanago, who just sent us a text at 844-967-2789. And she just says, enjoying Kristen and Jane.
Oh, here's a very important question. Does she spell her name with an E or an I?
She spells it like you do.
Yeah. The right way.
The right way.
Kristen with an I unites.
Need your own club or something.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
but you can always, hey, you can send us anything you want. Comment on the show, comment on guests, send us suggestions for guests you would like to have us talk to or topics that we should explore.
Yeah, absolutely. You can always reach us at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us. The proof is in the pudding. This week when we had James Small on and Alan DeYoung, that came from someone's suggestion.
Yeah, about the EMS crisis.
Well, and the fact that we all learned that... when you call 911, there's no guarantee that anyone's going to come because that is not actually paid with your tax dollars.
Yeah.
Well, not everywhere, but in a lot of places, it's just volunteers.
You hope somebody's there.
Yeah. And so that was wild to learn about. But I had planned on spending at least a couple segments poking fun at Aaron Rodgers coming out of his darkness retreat. And then I heard something this morning that made me think twice about doing that.
Oh.
And I'd love to get your input on this.
Okay.
So in the way that we are trying to have people embrace and embrace taking care of their mental health, encourage them to take care of their mental health, do things that make them feel, that give them clarity, whatever, is it hypocritical to then simultaneously make fun of someone like Aaron Rodgers for doing it in maybe an untraditional way? It's not like seeing a therapist or anything like that, but as far as feeling like he got something out of going into a dark hole basically for 4 days, and is it contradictory to on one hand say we should be taking care of our mental health, but on the other hand say we can make fun of him for it?
Well, I understand your point, but to me, what lends itself to mockery is that That sounds like a really indulgent, I have way too much money. I have more money than God. What should I do with it? I'm going to pay someone so I can go sit in a dark room for 4 days. That's where I have an issue.
I wonder how much it costs. So I read about it a little bit more. I found an article about the guy, like, talking about it, of him going and him coming back. And they talked to the guy who owns the three different dark, like, he owns the retreat. And it's three different dark rooms. And he said the wait list is in the hundreds.
So there are a lot more people with a whole lot more money than I
but
ever realized.
But he doesn't say how expensive it is.
Well, that tells you something right there.
There is a picture of it, though.
What is it? Isn't it?
It's called Sky Cave, a facility on hundreds of acres of forested land in southern Oregon. And the picture that's in this ESPN article is like there's a little door and it's a room that's like built into a hill.
Mm-hmm.
And can you look up the website as far as?
Tell me what it's called
again. It's called the Sky Cave.
How long has this thing been in business? Do we know?
I have no idea. So Sky Cave has three 300-square-foot dark rooms. 300 square foot, not a lot.
That's pretty small.
With a queen bed, a bathroom, and a meditation mat on the floor. And you can turn the lights on, but otherwise there's no windows. And it's, I've heard, because like I've always wondered about like silent retreats. I remember reading 10% Happier by Dan. He was the ABC like daytime anchor. What is his last name? But it's basically a book about meditation and him finding meditation and how what it did to improve his life. And he talks about going to his first silent retreat and just not being able to talk to people and mm-hmm. what that was like. And that to me seems like an extreme, let alone not talking to anyone and sitting in the dark for 3 days.
Okay. I am on their website.
Okay.
And I'm on the about page, you know, where you usually find out the history of the place and all that stuff. And it doesn't tell you anything.
Tells you nothing?
Well, we've spent
just darkness on the website.
No, it says we've spent over 2 years in self-guided solo retreats, fasting and meditating in the wilderness. Over a year at various Genka Vipassana centers, sitting and serving, but it doesn't say how long Sky Cave has been in existence. There are no FAQs, you know, frequently asked questions like how much does it cost? That makes me twitchy.
Well, I mean, the pictures look nice.
Go to Southern Oregon. I'm sure it's beautiful. Probably,
all of it looks like that. But they in this same article, they this is a quote from Colin O'Brady, an endurance athlete who completed an 8-day, 7-night darkness retreat in the same room that Rogers just was in. I'm always looking for ways to tap into the power of my mind. And so I don't know. I don't want to judge. It is like low-hanging fruit to make some jokes about him with, but like, if this gives him some clarity, maybe he'll find the clarity that it's time to move on and that everyone, the Packers can move on. He can move on. Everyone can have a nice zen kind of vibe going on. And we'll all be good. The drama can be behind us. Maybe that's what we all needed.
Sure.
Was Aaron Rodgers to go on a darkness retreat.
He's now a hobbit.
All right. Well, that will do it for us for this week. We'll be back and do it all again on Monday at 11 a.m. Stick around for Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian or the Chad Holmes Show. Thank you for listening. Thank you for texting. As always, you can shoot us an email, asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us. We'll see you on Monday.
Thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin, available on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please subscribe and leave us a rating. As Goes Wisconsin is a product of Civic Media and airs live across Wisconsin Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Civic Media is a statewide network of radio stations broadcasting local news, local sports, thoughtful commentary, and hand-picked music. We are always streaming on the Civic Media app. Find out where you can listen on the air or learn more about Civic Media and sponsorship opportunities by going to our website, civicmedia.us. We thank you for listening.